We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to another edition of the Peyton Chatinet Show presented by The Rogue. I'm Neil McCready. You probably know this guy. It's Peyton Chatinet. Back after basically a month on the road, including, 12 days in Omaha, Nebraska, probably the 12 most glorious days that one could spend in Nebraska. Ole Miss wins the national championship on Sunday afternoon, the culmination of an absolutely incredible, unpredictable, no one saw this coming this way kind of season. Peyton, I'd ask how you are, but I generally know the answer, but I'll just say welcome into your show.
Thank you, man. This is, I mean, like I said earlier, this is unbelievable. Like, speechless.
I can imagine. As someone who gets paid to write words, I had a hard time coming up with words at times. I just wrote one word to the lead of my 10th weekend thoughts Sunday. I just said destiny. It's after a while, it just felt like destiny. Frankly, the one thing that surprised me, Sunday, as we're taping this on Monday night, was when Tim Elko came up in the eighth. I fully expected that he was going to hit a ball to the moon at that point, because that would have been the proper thing for the script at that point, right?
We were literally all screaming, like, just give him his moment right here. Like, I mean, it was meant to be. Like, it really was. I mean, it worked out either way, but yeah, no doubt.
Real quick, we're brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson. They sponsored the show from the very beginning. I think we got everything worked out in February, about the time that Ole Miss was getting started with the season. I think we got our first show in right before the opener, maybe the night before opening day. Ole Miss was, I don't know, what were y'all, fourth or fifth in the country at that point?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, you worked your way up to number one. And then Tennessee came to town and whacked you around pretty good that weekend. And then you guys kind of went into a little, I don't know, malaise, I guess might be the word, for a while. And everybody knows the story. You got to 7-14 in the SEC after back-to-back series losses to Mississippi State and Arkansas, and all seemed lost. And everybody said you guys didn't have enough jerk in you. There wasn't enough tough guy. And you know what, man? And tell me if I'm wrong, please. It's your show. But the more I've thought about it, the more I'm like, nope, that turned out to not be right. The fact that there were so many good guys, nice guys, guys who cared about each other on this team, that might have been what salvaged you in that moment, because a bunch of assholes, quite frankly, might have just said, screw it, man. I'm going to look out for me the rest of the way.
That is really true. I think one thing that every team always says whenever they win, like whoever wins at the end of every year, I can almost guarantee you always says something about the culture of the team. Like, it just seems like that's always the big thing is, you know, we have a lot of talent, but it's these group of guys and the way we compete and the way, you know, and I think it's true. I really do. Like, you're right. If we would have been those jerk players, we could have easily just like counted ourselves out and blamed other people and done all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I want to say it was really because of the coaches is why we were able to be the way we were. Just because from the beginning, like Coach B, I mean, he gets more crap than anybody. And he was still the guy that was telling us that, you know, we still got a chance. Let's keep fighting. You know, we're still a great baseball team. So it helped us believe. And then we just took it from there.
I've had so many people come up to me and talk about you being a role model for their kids, for their sons, their daughters, because of your positivity. You know, and this season wasn't full of sunshine and rainbows for you. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you had a good 5, 6 weeks where you really struggled at the plate. I mean, you really struggled to hit the baseball. Not you didn't get benched, but they sat you one day to, hey, get a different perspective, collect yourself a little bit. And I'm sure you had moments that were kind of dark moments. Tim Elko talked about kind of a dark moment after the Mississippi State series for him. But for you, it never came across here. And I've told people this, and I don't mean this to, you know, blow sunshine, but it's true. You never once ducked out of this show. You never once were like, oh, no, I don't want to do it. You always said, no, let's do it. Let's do it. You always stay positive. How did you do that?
It's tough. You know, it's not always easy. And like, you're right. There was definitely times throughout this season when it just felt like it could not get any worse. And it felt like there was no hope at sometimes. And I think the main thing that kind of helped me going and or kind of helped me stay going and just stay up and everything was the fact that we always had a chance of winning. Like I said it before on here that my role isn't always to be the best hitter or to be the best second baseman or whatever it is. Like I have more than that to do. I have to be a leader. I have to try to be the pump up rah, rah guy that I normally am. So if I'm not doing that, then I'm not helping out the team really at all. And I think it was just something just within me that said, you know, you can't stop. You can't quit now. We've worked too hard for this. And I think it's also just because I care a lot. I care a lot about this team and the game of baseball. So I wasn't going to quit on it then.
You guys got to Omaha. You rolled through the regional. You rolled through a super regional. You got to Omaha, and it looked like, I don't know, every Ole Miss person in the world was there, even if from the very beginning. Did the crowds surprise you? Were you shocked? I mean, I said this in my 10 Week in Thoughts piece. Kyle Peterson, who does a great job on ESPN, he's terrific. He said it's like Swayze here, and I was like, no, it's kind of more than that. I mean, Swayze only holds 12,000-13,000. I mean, it's like two Swayzes here. I mean, they're all over your hotel. They're everywhere. What was that like from your perspective?
That was unbelievable. Like, I'm telling you, that played a big factor into us winning, especially that first game. I think they were, like, actually shocked whenever they saw how many fans we had and how loud we were. I remember my first at-bat, I was walking up to the plate, and I think Kevin had just scored. And you can just feel everybody yelling at you. It was so cool. It was unbelievable the way it were. And then we get back to the hotel, and everyone's going nuts. Or, like, whenever we're going to the field, everyone's there for us and stuff. It was – oh, my gosh, it was unbelievable. It literally felt like the actual World Series.
Speaking of ESPN, and we'll get back to fun stuff in a minute. Speaking of ESPN, how often did people tell you that Carl Ravitch was butchering your name?
Oh, man. I had so many tweets and different people coming up to me and stuff.
Chatonier.
I'm like, look, I really don't care. You know, I've had it for so long now. So many people have messed up my name. If you could just get half of it right, I'm okay with it.
At least they're saying your name, right? I
mean, exactly.
Yeah. Let's get to you guys. You beat Auburn. There wasn't a whole lot to say about that game. You kind of dominated it. You whipped Arkansas on that. I guess it was Monday, and you waited till Wednesday. You had a chance to punch your ticket on Wednesday, and Wednesday finally, this story. I've been saying, man, this story is so Hollywood. Something's got to go wrong at some point. And finally, on Wednesday, something did. You guys ran into a pretty hot pitcher in Hagen Smith. He pitched well against you guys. You loaded the bases in the ninth, had a chance to clinch it right there, and you couldn't do it. They end up doing the little handshake line thing, and you know at that point, I'm guessing that, boy, tomorrow's going to be tough. I mean, tomorrow's – because you know that team and that DNA. You guys have played them so many times, and you've beaten them, and you've lost to them, and you knew what was coming, right? I mean, you knew, hey, we're in for a war on Thursday. What were those 19 hours between that loss and taking the field again against those guys like?
It was tough because, like, it's been like that the whole postseason where I felt like we were going to win that second game too. Like, it just felt like, oh, Gonzo's about to get a hit right here. There's no way we lose. Like, it's destiny for us to win. And then it was kind of just an actual shock that, oh, crap, like, we actually have to – if we lose, we're out. Like, there's no game two for us. If we lose this, we're done. And Arkansas is always a tough team. They're always that team that's kind of scrappy and finds a way to get the job done. luckily we have some really good pitchers for us, and they pitch really well. But it was like, I remember laying in bed and saying like, man, I wish I could play right now. Like, I wish I was playing the game right now. I don't want to wait till the morning. It's kind of miserable waiting all day around for
it. Sure. Sure. And knowing that you're going to get Connor Nolan and they're going to get Dylan DeLucia, and you know that it's two guys that are like, I don't know how else to say it. I knew all day, people are like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, I don't know. Flip a coin. It's going to be two teams that are going to answer the bell. It's two pitchers that are going to answer the bell. There's a lot of championship DNA in those dugouts. I know the fan bases hate each other and stuff. I get it. But the two teams, and tell me if I'm wrong, the two teams play the game sort of similarly. There's a certain mirror effect. And I remember thinking all day on Thursday, man, whoever wins this, this is the national championship game. The winner of this game is going to go beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of felt that way. Arkansas, like I said earlier, they're a really good program, and they'll find a way to get it done. If we were to make a lot of mistakes that game, they would have won. Like, they would have been able to capitalize on those mistakes. Luckily, DeLucia just pitched amazing, and we scratched a couple runs. But, yeah, I think Van Horn is probably really similar to how Coach B is in a lot of ways. But it was – I'm not going to lie. I was pretty nervous for that game. It was fun, though.
You made a play on Saturday that I think is indicative of the kind of player you are that doesn't show up in a box score. It's never going to show up in a box score. No one's ever going to see it. And you may have put your team on the fast track to a national title on Saturday. You guys were ahead. Oklahoma finally threatened. They kind of loaded the bases. You guys had a little shaky defense for a minute. And I think it was Wood, the third baseman, trying to make a play on a bunt. Kind of threw a ball away down the first baseline. Your job as a second baseman is to go back up that throw. Not all second basemen back up that throw. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just get caught watching, or you assume the throw is going to be good, or you're a little late to back it up. And if you're not there, Peyton, it's a 4-3 game at that moment. And who knows, right? I mean, all of a sudden it's a different game. I know you slipped and you didn't make the throw to the home that you wanted to make, but being there stopped the bleeding. I just thought it spoke volumes of the kind of player you are all season. When even when you weren't hitting, and you and I talked about this on this show a few times, when you weren't hitting, you didn't take your bat out to the field with you. And you know, those are habits that you build those habits over the course of playing travel ball. And when you're playing against Louisiana Monroe or whatnot in a game where you're up 14-3 and you're like, this is over, but you still have to go, you still have to play and build habits. And it really paid off for you and your team in that moment.
Well, man, I mean, I appreciate you even noticing that. That's cool. I think it's because I have to credit Coach B. The amount of bunt defenses we do in practice is it really paid off. And probably my younger self would have sat there during those practices and said, why are we doing this? You know, we know the bunt plays, we know what's going to go on, but it becomes muscle memory. And luckily I knew where I needed to be. And normally I go actually to like take the ball. I normally go to first and Tim crashes and I go to first and catch the ball. But Tim saw that the ball was going to third. So he ran back and then I just had to kind of veer off and then go back up. Cause that's what kind of my next thing is. Yeah, I know. I wish I wouldn't have slipped. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I thought I had him, but then
your back foot slipped on you, so you didn't get anything on the
ball. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't even really think about it that way. So that's cool.
A huge play, man. It's such a big play. Let's get to Sunday. What was Sunday like waking up knowing that you've played countless games in your life and you've played probably, I don't know, 100 and some odd games at Ole Miss, and this was the first one that you ever played where if you win, you're the national champion. I mean, you'd never been in that boat before. You'd been in a lot of games, big games and stuff, but you'd never been there before. You'd been in games where, hey, if we win, we go to Omaha. Hey, if we win, we're in the winner's bracket. Hey, if we win, we're in the finals. But you'd never been in one where if we win, they're giving us the trophy today. What was that like?
It was definitely very weird. Like, that's been our goal to go out on our terms, you know, but it just felt weird that even if we win, the season is over. Like, the season cannot go any further than Monday. That's it. Like, and it was very weird. I was kind of joking about it with somebody else. I remember after the game, I'm like, I just feel like the winner is supposed to play Tennessee now. Like, I feel like we're supposed to you know, go play another team. It just felt weird. It really did. And it really still hasn't hit me yet. Like, I feel like we're going to go tomorrow and we're going to go get our bags off the bus. And I'm going to feel like we have to go hit BP or something. Like, it's going to feel super weird to just go home. But it was, man, that game was unbelievable too. I mean, what a crazy game that one was.
It almost had to be crazy at the end, right? I mean, I told you before we started that I just kept thinking of the eighth inning. I told my wife, I'm like, I don't know how they're going to score here, but they're scoring. And when Elko came up and there were two on, I'm like, he's going to hit one to the moon. And this, I said, at some point, this is silly. It's not the, it's too much of a Disney movie. And that's not how it happened. You guys, a couple of wild pitches, and then you take the lead, and Brandon was just nails in the ninth inning. Yeah. What was going through your mind in the top of the ninth when Oklahoma was in their final at bat and you could tell they weren't going to get much off Brandon?
Yeah, I remember, like, I was trying not to think about it too much, and I was trying. Well, the first thing I did actually was, like, I got to second and I do my normal little routine, and then I just kind of looked around at the whole field, just took a couple, like a 360 or so, and was just trying to soak it all in. I was like, man, it was special. I mean, that's literally what you dream about. Like, that's what you vision whenever you, it was really cool. But then we got our first out, and I remember, like, it kind of hit me right then. I look over at Tim and we do our normal one out sign to each other. And I started to, like, get tears in my eyes right then. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is actually going to happen. Like, we're going to be the first team to ever do it. And,
we're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Boy, it was so cool. It was awesome. But I feel like, kind of what we were saying earlier about people just stepping up and everything like that, like, I mean, I don't think Gonzo would disagree. Like, he didn't necessarily have a great College World Series tournament.
Yeah.
But then he just steps up and he was amazing the last game and he was so clutch for us. Like, I think that was what was so cool about our team, especially in the postseason, is so many different people were stepping up, like Calvin Harris, Garrett Wood. Like, there was some TJ coming off the bench and hitting a bomb. I don't know. You're right though. Like, this is a storybook season. Like, this is a movie waiting to happen.
You know, you see all the pictures of all the people, like people with their fathers, people with their sons, people with sisters, people thinking about, family members who aren't with them anymore. A couple of things hit me a little bit. I remember watching an interview with, Theo Epstein. Thank you. Theo Epstein, when he was the general manager of the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the morning after the Red Sox won the first World Series since the curse of the Bambino, and they flew back out of St. Louis. They flew into Logan Airport in Boston, and they got on the bus to go to Fenway. And, you know, he's like, yeah, everybody's all hungover and all that stuff. But he noticed, like, cemeteries had fresh Red Sox stuff on them, like Boston hats or pennants or jerseys or flowers or whatever. And he was like, it hit him what they had done, you know, was so much bigger than baseball. And I saw an interview with Ben Zobrist, who got the game-winning hit in Game 7 of the 2016 World Series for the Cubs. And he talked about how he played for Tampa and he played for Kansas City when they won a title, but that when he won the title with the Cubs, because it was the first one since 1908, all these people would just come up to him and, like, hug him. They wanted to hug him. They wanted to thank him. And he goes, I guess I'm a Cub forever. It's not really my choice. It's I'm a Cub forever. Has it hit you at all that you're going to be a part of the team forever, no matter whether the next team does it or whether it's 15 years or whether it's 30 years? I mean, who knows? Whatever it is, you're going to be a part of the team that forever was the one that won the first one, was the one that gave people this joy the first time. That no matter how good or bad you guys are next year, no one can take that away from you. That's who you are, whether you want that to be your legacy or not. It is.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind being that person. I remember I was talking about it with my dad. We were in Omaha, but this was early in the week before. We might've played maybe one game or something, but we hadn't, you know, gone far yet. And I just remember him saying basically the same thing, like, y'all will forever be the team that broke the curse, the team that finally did it. And, you know, I hope we go back to back. It'd be awesome. But, like, there was just something special about this year. I don't know if you can, you know, repeat exactly what happened this year. But it kind of hit me, like you were saying about that story, is I was scrolling through Twitter and I tried to stay off my phone as much as I can, 'cause it's going nuts still. But, I was looking on Twitter and there was somebody had posted something about, like, show me where you were whenever, you know, we had won. And it was so cool to see all these different families' reactions and moms and dads hugging and grandpas that are sitting there, you know, on the couch cheering. That kind of hit me a little bit more. That was on the bus ride back to Oxford. I was looking at that. And then we get to Oxford and we have the Walk of Champions. And there were so many people out there, and you could just tell, like, they were so happy too. And there were so many people out there thanking us and saying, like, you don't understand, you know, you just made this old man happy, you know, you just made a rebel for life and all this stuff. It was so cool. It was like, I seriously, it was hard for me not to tear up during the Walk of Champions too. Like, it just felt like a dream. It really did.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of that Wednesday at the parade and the reception. I suspect that's going to blow you away. I don't know that that's anything that you can kind of prepare for, right? That's I mean, you can imagine, I would suspect, what a baseball game is going to feel like, because it's a baseball game and, you know, mm-hmm. the bases and all the stuff. I mean, there's people, but it's the game. But the impact that it has on people, I don't know that that's something that you can truly prepare for. I don't think you can really imagine in your mind's eye what that will be like.
Even after the game, we went out and celebrated and everything. And I mean, I didn't realize, like, there was so many people with us, like, so it was so cool. Like, everybody was coming up and thanking us and doing this and doing that. It was like, I was in shock, the amount of people, and not just like college kids. Like, it was older people too, that were out there telling us thank you and staying up late and going crazy. Like, you could just tell it meant so much. It was awesome.
Did you get a Jell-O shot? There were 18,000 of them that got sold.
Yeah. I could say I was a part of one of those 18,000. So, but it was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we're going to keep celebrating here for a little bit, but
yeah, I know you are. And I don't want to keep you too much longer. I am curious though.
Oh, no.
Because a lot of stuff happens on camera. You know, the dog pile happens on camera and you guys are on the field hugging each other and you get the trophy and all that's on camera. Is there a moment though that happened off the camera that for you, whether it was with your family or a teammate or friends or whatever, that you'll associate with that championship as you get older? Is there a kind of one thing that's going to stick with you?
I think probably two moments. Whenever I went over and hugged my family, we took a lap around the field and did all that stuff, but then we had to take pictures and they were introducing us and everything like that. But then we kind of got a little free time and I went over and hugged my family and we took pictures and did all that. And that was really cool my dad has been there, my biggest fan forever. So that was really cool to be able to share that moment with him and with my whole family. And then the second one was just about everybody else had left or gone to the bus or done whatever. And it was like me, Garrett Wood, JB, and Dunhurst were just sitting in the dugout. Like, I didn't want to leave. And it was really, I don't even know how to describe the feeling of, we were sitting in that dugout and then everybody just kind of disappeared. Like, and all the fans and everybody had gone away and it was just us left. And
yeah,
it was just like, whoa, like, what did we just do? It was cool. It was really cool.
I know your career's not over, but how hard will it be Thursday morning to, even though it ended the greatest way you could possibly want it to end, and like we talked about, you're a champion forever, and you guys are going to be an afterglow to this for a long time, but you're going to miss this come Thursday, right? When there's no parade to attend, and there's no game to prepare for, and there's no locker to clean out, and I don't know. It's going to be tough, I think.
I kind of got that way when we were leaving Omaha. Like, I took a picture of the plane as we were leaving and stuff. And I was like, man, it's awesome. We did our job. We did what we came there to do. But it's also kind of sad. Like, our season's over now. And as awesome as it is, like, I'm going to have to say bye to so many of my friends that I've had around for 3 years now. So it's really cool, but at the same time, it's like, man, like, that's it. We're done now. I don't know. It's going to be weird the next couple of days when people start moving out and everything. But for now, we're going to just try to celebrate and not think about that.
you get one more year though, right? You're definitely coming back for next season?
I think there's a really good chance I do, yeah.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Well, whether you do or don't, I can tell you that and I told you this, I guess, by text yesterday. I can't remember exactly what I said, but there are so many people who have reached out to me about this show and how much they appreciated kind of the story arc that it took from the beginning with all the excitement and you guys were killing everybody to the valley when things were not going well, to the desperate quest to get into the NCAA tournament, not knowing whether you were in, and then finding out that morning that, oh my God, we're in. To this 10-1 run in the month of June that ends in a national championship, and you were a first class act throughout the whole thing, and people really enjoyed getting to know you. I know that they saw you on the field, but they get to see a different side of you here, and it was a lot of fun for me. I've really appreciated it, so I hope you've had fun with it as well.
Yeah, man, this has been so much fun. You know, I like talking, so this is good for me, man. But no, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun, and it was really cool. So many people had been kind of reaching out to me or seeing me out on the streets and saying something like about how they've watched the show and when's the next episode and everything. It was really cool to just see that, oh, we actually got some people watching this thing. This is cool. But no, this has been a lot of fun. I love it.
Yeah. I had people basically threatening me. You have to do another one with Peyton. I'm like, well, you know that Peyton's kind of busy and he's got stuff going on. And so I'm gonna do the best I can, but you know, he just won a championship. He's in Omaha. He's got to get it back, and there's stuff happening. And yeah, but you have to do one. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try. We're gonna get it done.
I think this was probably a good time to do it because it's hit me, but it's not hit me like super emotionally where I'm like tonight I might lay in bed because tonight will be the first night that I've like actually slept in a bed by myself besides like, you know, because on the road we have roommates and everything. So I never, we've been on the road for basically a month. Like I feel like I haven't been in my bed in my room by myself for so long that I think I'm going to just crash and reflect on it all. Oh, it's going to be, I can already see there's going to be tears flowing down my eyes. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I think you're probably not human if at the end of all this, you don't have some sort of a cathartic moment, right? Where you kind of let some of that out. But hey, those will be happy tears. And and that's, you know, not everybody gets to have those at the end of a season, and you do. And congratulations again to you and your teammates and your coaching staff. And I know the fan base is so excited with you guys, and they'll show you that on Wednesday. But again, thanks for doing this. I know that the Rogue thanks you again one last time. It's the Rogue 4450, I-55 North in Jackson. All the best brands, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, Duckhead, everything, whatever brand you're looking for, they pretty much have it. They've got people that help you with whatever you're looking for, whether it's nightlife or business attire or social attire, whatever the case may be, they can help you there at the Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson. Peyton, anything before we go?
No, I just want to say thank you. This has been a lot of fun. You've been great for me this whole year. You know, you were one of the guys that was in my corner all year long, so I really appreciate it.
You got it. I'm super happy for you. I told you that multiple times. I'm glad that I think you deserve this. And it was cool to watch you win a championship the other night. So I was happy for you and happy for you now. Enjoy the parade. Enjoy your summer, and look forward to talking to you soon, I hope.
Thank you, man.
That's Peyton Chatney. I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this season of the Peyton Chatney Show. We will, who knows, maybe Peyton will be back for another season. Maybe I can rope him into doing this again, but not gonna put him on that spot right this moment. So for Peyton, I'm Neil. You guys enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the parade, and we will talk to you again soon.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.